Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, please, turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We read here in verse 4, according as he has chosen us. The he here is God. Verse 3 says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at choosing this morning. This choosing is the election of God, the choosing of those in Christ by God the Father. We see here that all spiritual blessings are given to us according as God the Father has chosen us in him, that is Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. I want to cover the following questions concerning election. Why did God elect or choose? How did God elect or choose? When did God elect or choose? Who did God elect or choose? And then, how do we know those chosen and the God of election and the elect? So, why did God elect or choose? God Almighty was pleased to create man, create the world, and create everything in it, create the heavens and all that there is, to give glory to himself. He was pleased to give glory to himself by coming down to this earth that he created and was coming as a man. He was the glory of God personified, the Son of God. We see it said three times here in the chapter we are in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That we should be to, in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And again in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God Almighty has been pleased to do all things, including electing a people in his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, because it pleased him to do so, and that he might glorify himself. That is what these verses are saying. The only one that has the right to do so. God has said, I am that I am. It really is not any more deep than that. If you are looking for more as to why God chose a people in Christ, I'm afraid what you're looking for does not exist. Those whom he chose were for the purpose of giving glory to his name, because he was simply pleased to do so. If you do not believe this, then you do not believe the God, because this is what he says in his word. So how did God elect or choose? Ephesians 1 and verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Completely and solely based on his will. God Almighty did not look down in time to see what man would do and choose us based on that. God did look in time to see what man was doing, and he was not pleased with man at all. In Romans 3 and verse 12 we read, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." But we read again right here in this chapter as to how God chose a people for his name. He did this according to the good pleasure of his will. If you want to be concerned with will, then this is the will you need to be concerned about. What is God's will for me? So what is God's will? Thankfully, we read here that he was pleased. In other words, it was his will to choose a people in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. So that is how he did it, by his will. When did God elect or choose? When it comes to God, saying when is not really even a valid way to ask a question. God is. And as I've already said, God said, "I am that I am." God is an eternal being. God has always been. And that's not even a right way to say it. This is also a word of time. So how do we say it? The only way to say it is, God is. But this God chose the elect, his people, a specific number of people. This number does not include everyone. But he chose these people from before the foundation of the world. Verse 4 here tells us this very thing. God chose us, and he did this from before the foundation of the world. So who did God elect or choose? Simply put, those he wanted to. God selected a people not based on what they did or did not do. It was purely based on his choice. God does not tell us why he specifically chose us in his word, other than that he was pleased to do so. But we know from Scripture what it was not based on. In Romans 9, verses 11 through 13, we read this, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." So these children were not even born yet and had not done any good or evil. They were still in Rebekah's womb. So they had not sinned against God. They had not decided to follow Jesus. They had not done anything. This is saying here that God did not look at what they would do. It had nothing to do with them, but it had everything to do with the purpose of a God according to election or choosing. God said he loved Jacob and hated Esau. It is as simple as that. Now, these whom God has chosen do have a time when they are manifested. They do have a time when they begin to manifest some of the characteristics of a man chosen of God. God's people, even though you might not see it all the time, but those chosen of God, when he has been pleased to give them life, manifest a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A spirit that tells them that apart from someone else greater than them, greater than fallen man, like unto themselves, if someone not greater than them intervenes, they will surely perish. These people have many other characteristics. These are all given of God, as they would not have them otherwise. They are given a new heart to where then they can then they then have a battle against this flesh, which continues as long as God Almighty keeps them on this earth. Those vessels that God has shown mercy on were before prepared unto glory. Vessels of mercy. Election. This is a doctrine that many people do not want to talk about. They do not want to believe. They do not want to acknowledge. There have been several so-called pastors that have said, "I believe in election, but I cannot preach that because it will split my church." Well, just a few things about this statement for just a minute. The main phrase I want to look at being, "it will split my church." But really, the first problem with this statement is it starts with I. When you start off with I, you are going to go wrong from there on out, unless you are saying, I am wrong. But second is thinking that it will split God's church. Because if it is, in fact, God's church, it is because it is for their good that they will be split. Because we know all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So if it splits God's church, He wanted it to. He certainly commands all those who He sends to preach His gospel to tell the truth, no matter what. But if He split it and He wants it back together again, He'll bring it back together again. But last of all is thinking that it is your church. The church is not a product of man. If it is your church, it needs splitting into several parts until there's nothing left. But the church of God the Father is just that, His church. The church is a group of called out ones. First of all, we know the church is no man's church save Jesus Christ, because no man chooses a sinner and no man calls out a sinner. God alone calls out a sinner. It is clear in Scripture. But Christ Himself says the church is His. In Matthew 16:18 we read, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," this is Christ speaking, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There are many more places where it talks about Christ and His church. So I think it's clear from Scripture that the church is God Almighty's church, and He will do with it as He pleases, and what He does will be to their utmost benefit. God adds to the church daily those that should be added. But men have trouble with election, as they think they can choose. Mankind thinks that they can make the right choice. It is no surprise to those who are chosen and called by God. They know this to be true, because they know this is how it was for them. But let's read of a choosing by men that we read in Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And beginning in verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto them, unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." What is the moral of the story, they say? You choose God, then you are witnesses against yourself. Did they worship God and God alone? No, they cannot. Our choice to serve God, if it does not come from God, that is to say, if God did not choose us and purpose to save us and give us a new heart that can serve Him, then we will not or never serve God by our choice. How do I know this is true? We already read it in Romans 3 and verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So those who say they have chosen to serve God by their choice are witnesses against themselves. So who are those that have been chosen of God? Well, simply put, it is those whom he was pleased to choose, elect, select, pick, or any other verb that means this very thing. You can also say those whom God loves. But also those that God loves and has chosen will, in his good time, come to possess certain characteristics, as I've already stated. We know that whom he hates were before fitted to destruction. God did not have to do anything to fit those unto damnation. They were fitted to that in the fall of their daddy, Adam. But those whom he chose were afore prepared unto glory. Those whom he chose, God Almighty prepared them unto glory. So how do we know those chosen? Basically this, they hear the word and believe. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So we see here, Paul is speaking of himself here when he says knowing. He says he knows of their election. But how does he know that? The same we know it, and he goes on to tell us in verses 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Because the gospel, that message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, came to them, but not in word only. Had it come to them in word only, they would have left empty. But it came to them in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. What was the result of this? They received the word that they, that is Paul and others, spoke in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. It stirred them up. It caused an upheaval in their soul. But along with that comes the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ the Lord did it all. So then they became followers of those who spoke the truth, and of Jesus Christ. If you believe God, you will follow others who you know are following after the Jesus Christ the Lord. If not, then the gospel came to you in word only. The gospel to a believer causes them to love Christ and his people. So this is how we know those chosen of God. I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual blessings we receive. In verse 6, we read in Ephesians, verse 6. Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. But again, in verse 3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. First of all, these blessings are to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is not so that we can boast in ourselves, because it had nothing to do with us or our choice. It was all in Jesus Christ our Lord. Here are some of those blessings, and they are mentioned in our passage. We are made accepted. We have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. He has made known unto us the mystery of his will. We have peace. All for this purpose, that we might be gathered together in one, in Jesus Christ the Lord. God chose us because, had he not chose us, we would never come, and there would be none that would do this. Choosing is not salvation. Choosing or election is not coming to Christ, but He chose us unto salvation. And He does this through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called us by His gospel. 1 Peter 1 and 2 reads, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." And then again in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13 we read, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Had God not chosen us, we would never be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that is, set apart. We would never hear His gospel, and so never believe the gospel. Those that believe God must do it in spirit and in truth. The natural man cannot do this. This election, this choosing by God, was unto this end. So if you do not come to believe in God who elected, then you will never come to believe Him. In that not happening, that is, coming to believe Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins and perish forever. God, in whom all light dwells, is the only one that can choose to love. Scripture says that God is love. Whatever love is, then you have to define it by who God is, because He is love. Remember in Scripture that it says we love God because. If we love God, it was because of something. What does the Scripture tell us? Because He, God, loved us first. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Had He not loved us, we would never have loved Him. God Almighty chose to love us. He did this even though we would in time spit in His face, trample on the name of Christ, who is the only begotten of the Father, and anything else that is an abomination to God. But because He wanted to glorify His name, He was pleased to choose some people that would come to believe Him and bow down to Him in time, in His appointed time. He did this in the only begotten Son, who is the elect. Christ is the elect. This is the one where it says in the chapter we started with that He first trusted in Christ. God the Father trusted that Jesus Christ the Son would honor the Father and magnify His name. This Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. Those chosen in Him are a product of Jesus Christ the Lord. The only reason we were ever elected or chosen of God the Father is because of His elect, Jesus Christ the Son of God, that we might be to the praise of His glory. And His glory is Jesus Christ the Lord. Isaiah 42:1 reads, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." He is the one that we read of in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 6, as being the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. But again in our text, in verse 12, we read that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That is, God the Father trusted Jesus Christ the Son to carry out what was needed for salvation. Christ, the elect, accomplished this completely and satisfied the justice of a thrice holy God. So let me say this. You can know the doctrine of election, but still not know the God of election and not believe the elect Jesus Christ. But you can know the elect Jesus Christ and believe the elect and not know the doctrine of election. If you do know the elect, He will teach you of the doctrine, because He is the God of election, and you will learn of Him. But if all you have, if all you care about is the doctrine, then that is all you have, and it is not enough. If you hate the doctrine of election, then you hate the God of election, because He is the God who elected. God Almighty chose for whom He would love, those whom He would love. Love is a choice with God. Christ tells us Himself that He chose us. In John 15 and verses 16 we read, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." And again in verse 19 of John 15, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." There are those who will mock the elect, Jesus Christ, the God of election, just as those did at the cross, they do today. In Luke 23:35, we read this, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." The same ones who did this back then also hate God's people who love the God of election. Those are they who do not know God and hate God. There are also those who say God chose us based on what we will do. But what does the Scripture say right here in our passage? He chose us and predestinated us according to His own will. Verse 11. Clearly, election is in the Bible. It's all over the place. Even talking objectively, if you do not believe it is in there, you either have not read the Bible or you do not understand English, if English is the version you're looking at. But if you know the elect, He will in time show you that He elected and chose some people and predestinated them to the adoption of children of God, all because of His will and nothing to do with fallen man's will. Doctrine without Christ is as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. But knowing the God of the doctrine is the beginning of wisdom.